So welcome again to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you will find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After their share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program and what the speaker has shared. So I'd now like to welcome Chris M. from Ontario, a compulsive overeater. So welcome, Chris.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for coming tonight. This is actually my very first time speaking, so I've had some nerves, but I asked my higher power to give me the words to say tonight. So I thought I would do the what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So what it was like, I was always drawn to food as a little kid. Like, I still remember being like, my earliest memories are connected to food, family gatherings, time with loved ones. I remember the food. I remember, you know, the special people, but I remember the food, and the food always brought me comfort. Always brought me, you know, a sense of satisfaction. You know, I liked the feeling of being full. And one of my earliest memories, actually, which I remembered this not too long ago, was going to Sunday school. So I was probably around three or four. And I remember being so motivated to go to church for the snacks. So I remember they had apple juice and a cookie, and they served the same thing. And I still remember to this day drinking the apple juice and eating the cookie and the feeling that I felt getting that, the sugar. My problem has always been with sugar. So even as like a really little kid, I had that drive for the sugar. I was very motivated by anything with lots of sugar in it. So sort of moving along, you know, I was a typical, for the most part up until age seven, I was pretty typical. I was always very active. You know, I went through some childhood trauma like most of us have. And around then I started having some rapid weight gain. And I've often wondered, like, you know, is it, I grew up in a family with mental illness, with a lot of disordered eating, addiction. So I've tried for years to figure out why. Why is it? Is it the trauma? Was I born this way? What is the reason? And it doesn't really matter. That's what I've come to learn. That's what I've learned. It doesn't really matter why I am who I am. And you know, I went through rapid weight gain around the age of seven. And I still remember, like, in about a year, like, you can see it in the pictures, I went from like this normal sort of athletic build to like literally like this big chubby kid. And I remember, like, my mom and my grandparents, when, because the people would be shocked, I think, looking back at how much weight I had gained. And I remember my grandparents saying, well, like, and my mom, like, well, feel her, she's just solid, like, she's just so solid. And literally strangers would feel me, they would touch my legs, they would touch my arms, and it was very, very bizarre. But I wasn't like, I remember not, like, it was like that, the beginning of denial too, like, oh, I'm not overweight, I'm solid, I'm, you know, I'm active, I'm muscular, like, you know. So in the beginning of the denial too. So, you know, the progression of the disease, like, you know, it's not just about like, now I know, like, yes, weight gain. It was always for me about the food and the weight gain, because my compulsive eating is that of like a very typical person, you know, who gains a bunch of weight, lose a bunch of weight. So starting around, you know, 11, puberty, everything, I started dieting, and my mom was always dieting. So I started dieting, and that was the beginning of losing weight, you know, losing 20 pounds, gaining 30, losing 60 pounds, gaining 80, losing 40 pounds, gaining 50. So I was always going up and down, and it was always all or nothing, always all or nothing. So I was either on a diet, exercising, you know, and this is like 11, 12, 13, up to like, you know, my 20s. I was either like in this perfect food, healthy exercise mode, or I was like in the food 100%, you know, binging, or I'd go through long periods of like not eating all day and living off coffee and then eating all night long. But really it wasn't until like I had my first child in my, I was almost 29, and my triggers are being tired, you know, stress, and like not getting enough sleep is part of being tired. So that was a really huge thing, being a mom. And then when my son was 10 months old, I took this really intense job that there was a lot of pressure, and like, you just, you know, I just gained so much weight. Like, I was one of those people that gained the weight after my pregnancy. So all throughout my two pregnancies, I gained normal amount of weight. I was pretty good. And then, you know, we're talking like 60, 70 pounds within the year or so after I had my kids. So that was when it was really, my disease really progressed. I still was dieting. I tried everything. I tried the pay and ways. I tried, there was like some online programs that I tried, that of course, everything I tried, I succeeded. I always lost the weight, but I was expert dieter, joined so many gyms, so much personal training, tried everything, the online programs for exercise. And then I remember I found this book, and this was like, I don't know, 8 years ago, and calling my husband, and I was convinced that was the solution, this book. And you know, it was an expensive book, so I wanted to talk about him first before I ordered it, and I was so excited. And of course he was like, go ahead, you know. But of course it didn't work, because it was just a book, right? And then finally I did this medically supervised weight loss. This was a few years ago, and this was like pretty intense, because you make six months of it, and you go every week, and you drink four shakes a day for 3 months, and no food. So what that taught me was my relationship with food. So I was happy on shakes, and I never wanted to eat food again. And I remember saying to the other people in the group, because we would go every week with the same group, and we'd see all these specialists and everything, and I was like, I want to stay on this forever, because I wasn't obsessing about food, because I was thinking about food, or thinking about, you know, the big book of AA talks about the obsession of the mind and the physical reaction of the body. I had the physical reaction of the body, a physical allergy from mainly sugar. So I experienced that all the time. But what was worse for me was the obsession of the mind, like thinking about food 24/7, either what I could eat, how I could eat, what I was going to eat, or how I was going to not eat, how I could handle not eating and dieting and exercising and losing the weight. And it, just this constant chatter in my head, and it was driving me nuts. So that was my first experience of, you know, I didn't lose the chatter being on the shakes, but it slowed down because I didn't have the sugar for 3 months. But as soon as I started slowly adding food back in, so we'd add one meal at a time, then the next week another meal. It was about reprogramming our brains. We couldn't reprogram my brain because I'm a compulsive overeater. As soon as I had sugar, and I had the tiniest little amount of sugar, it triggered off the, you know, phenomenon of craving. And, you know, it took me maybe another 2 weeks to have something else. But before I knew it, I was back to where I was. I had lost 55 pounds. And I was so happy, and I thought I'd finally been cured. I went back for my 1 year appointment with this group, with the doctor, and he weighed me, and I had gained 40 pounds of the 55 I'd lost, and I was devastated. I was so devastated. And I was so in denial because I wasn't weighing myself. I had gone up a size, but I was like, oh, you went up a size, no big deal. So that was, I remember coming home, and I've shared this before, but I remember walking up the stairs to my house, and I was just gutted, devastated. Like, how could I have failed? This was the solution. How could I have done this? Walking up the stairs of my house and thinking, this is why people kill themselves. Like, I finally get it. Not that I wanted to kill myself, because I didn't, but I understood for the first time why people killed themselves. So then I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what to do. And I had remembered that about 5 years before, I'd worked with a girl and she had brought up OA. She had been in AA and she had brought up OA to me. And she had lived an hour away from me. And she had said, you know, when you're ready, call me. I'll go to you to your first meeting when you're ready. I wasn't ready. And I was like, why would she drive an hour and come and pick me up and then go to a meeting? Like, that's crazy. I don't want to do that to her or whatever. But, you know, so I didn't call her. I looked up a meeting. This was February 2020. I was like, okay. I looked up a meeting and this meeting's half an hour away. I went to this first in-person meeting. As soon as I was there, I was like, oh yeah, I know it. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm one of them. And it freaked me out, scared me. So I was like, you know what? I know I'm one of them. And I had bariatric surgery. So that day that I had the 1 year checkup, I was like, okay, I give in. I'm going to have bariatric surgery because I've tried everything else. So I had my surgery actually booked for March of 2020. But then, of course, the pandemic hit. So the surgery was canceled. But even before I had the surgery booked, I went, like, even before I knew I was having, when I knew I was having surgery, I knew it wasn't going to be enough. And I went to my first OA meeting in February, 2020. By the time I was ready to go back, which was in March, COVID had to shut everything down. So everything was on Zoom. So the nice thing about that for me was that I was able to go to a lot of meetings. My surgery, of course, ended up being canceled because of COVID. And of course I had gained 2 weeks before the surgery was booked. I went on like a food funeral binge because I thought, oh my God, I have to eat everything that I could never eat again. So I ate everything that I thought I would never be able to eat again because of the surgery and gained like 12 pounds in 2 weeks. So I was back up to where I was before I did that program. So I start going to meetings and I'm like totally confused because I'm just like all this lingo. And I kept hearing talk about God and this higher power. And, you know, I'm thinking, what is this all about? And I mean, whenever I heard the word God, I like, you know, because I had God issues because of my childhood. I wanted nothing to do with God. So, but I knew that I wanted something to do with, I knew I needed help. Like I knew I couldn't do this myself because I tried for 20 something years and just kept getting worse and worse. And I think I was afraid too, right? Like I was afraid that what else could happen if I don't do something. So I heard at one of my first meetings, my first Zoom meeting, try 6 meetings. And you know what? Take what you want and leave the rest. I'm like, okay, I'm going to take what I want. I'm just going to ignore the God thing because it literally made me like twinge whenever I heard someone talk about God. Like I just was like, oh my goodness, I can't deal with the God thing. So started going to meeting and started looking for a sponsor, found my sponsor. So thankful for that. She's been a huge blessing in my life. I'm so grateful for her. And my sponsor has like completely no nothing to do with my story, like other than, you know, even though she's totally different than me, we have the same disease. It just manifests differently. And I thought that was so crazy at the time that how could I relate to this person that had different experiences, but in the end, it's, you know, the same disease just manifests differently. I feel like I'm just going all over the place, but so the God talk, how I got over it. That's what I wrote about. So I heard in some meetings and I talked to my sponsor and I was like, I don't know, man, like you have to rely. The whole point of the program is that, you know, yes, because it's really not about weight and it's not about food. That's just how it manifests. It's about, you know, surrendering and, you know, giving your will over to a power that's greater than yourself. And I remember thinking, like, well, how can I do that? Because there's no way I am talking to God. There's no way I'm praying to God. And I remember my sponsor saying, like, it's God as you understand him. You have your own conception of God. You know, God could be the tree in your backyard. I remember that. God could be, you know, the people in your group. You know, God can be, you don't have to call your higher power God. It can be anything that you perceive. So I was like, okay, started working the steps. And I still didn't really have know about this whole higher power thing and God thing, but I'm like, whatever, I have to do something. And, you know, I know this can help me. I have faith. I see all these people and hear all these stories, and people have, you know, have some freedom from this disease. Nobody's cured, but, you know, people have been set free from that obsession of the mind and that physical allergy. So one of the first things I had to do was figure out with my sponsor, you know, my plan of eating, and I also had done that. I had previously done that with a dietitian. And then we started working through the steps. And then just sort of one day, my power sort of, I just knew, I don't even remember exactly how it happened, but I just thought, oh, my higher power, she just sort of came to me, and I call her Hilda, and she's kind of like an elder. So like, she's kind of looks like a talk show host from the 80s that had gray hair and like red glasses. I don't know. That's just how she came to me. I don't know why. And I couldn't pray. Like I said, I'm not praying. So what I still do, I just talked to her. I just talked to her. Hey, Hilda, what's going on? And the first thing that I started to do was write letters to her because I couldn't pray. I still don't pray. Like I just can't pray. I will use the word God now, and I will use the word pray. But, you know, before this meeting, I wrote a letter to Hilda, you know. Another thing that I did, because I couldn't always, I used to work a crazy job with really weird shifts and schedules, and I didn't want to be carrying around a notebook that anybody could read with my stuff. So I made this email account. It's actually hirehilda@hirehilda.com. So whenever I just needed to like talk to Hilda, or I needed like, I couldn't just like write a letter, I would just send her an email and it would CC my account. So then I would read it later. And I found that really helpful because, you know, you hear about the tools of the program, and writing is one of them. Sponsorship, you know, I'm not going to remember them because of course I'm trying to think of them, but writing is one of them, and writing on pen and paper I find is really helpful. But you know what? The email thing, that works really great. And I was able to just, you know, talk to Hilda. And it took a while. Like it took a while of like daily practice, you know, like I as I was working the steps, I started having, you know, I listened to a million podcasts. Like when I first figured out eating and I knew I had to cut out sugar because that was like my demon. And I had already before, because I had been on that, you know, plan thing for a while, like I had seen a dietitian, my diet actually was pretty good. I just ate too much and I still had sugar, and there was sugar in a lot of the ingredients of what I was eating, which I wasn't aware of. So I'm very careful about looking at ingredients. Now I'm losing my train of thought, but, yeah, so Hilda, working the steps. I think I worked the steps pretty quickly. Like I think it was like probably 4 months. I ended up being off work. Oh, that's another thing. So I actually ended up having bariatric surgery in July. So when they called me to tell me that my date had come up, my reschedule, I was like, well, I don't want to have surgery. Like, why do I need surgery? I'm doing, like, I was so conflicted, right? So I was like, she said, well, if you say no, then you go to the bottom of the list. So I said, okay, I'll say yes. And I went home and talked to my husband. I talked to my sponsor. I pray. Well, I talked to Hilda. I talked a lot to Hilda. I did a lot of writing. And then I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to do the surgery. So then the next morning, so I'm like, I'm going to call when I get to work. I've got to call them and tell them I'm not going to do it. And I had the craziest experience. And I think of this as a spiritual, this was like kind of a lightning bolt spiritual experience. Cause I go to work and this girl, one of my coworkers, is like, oh, I heard that you got your date for your surgery. That's awesome. Great. I go, oh, I'm not going to do it. And she's like, oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, that's your decision. None of my business. And as I said, oh no, I've decided I'm not going to do it. The light from outside, the sun rays, like came in and like shone on her. And she had actually had surgery. And it was like all the rays just went on her and went in my face. I almost felt like I was like knocked over. And I honestly felt like Hilda was like, hit me in the face. Like, what are you talking about? So I'm like, and I remember texting my husband and saying, this like weird thing just happened. And I don't know, like, I'm getting the feeling like I'm supposed to go through with this and I don't know why. And he's like, do what you think. And that was it. So I didn't end up canceling the surgery. And I didn't know why. And I talked about that at the beginning. I'm like, I don't know why. So I had the surgery in July. I ended up having complications of the surgery. I don't know if this is why, but half my life since I was 23, I had chest pains. And they always told me it was anxiety and stress. So when I had the surgery, they thought I had a heart attack. And then when they did all these tests, when I had all these tests, they were like, okay, you didn't actually have a heart attack. You had a heart incident because there was no actual damage to my heart. But basically I had the blood work. I had, you know, the levels or whatever. Like, I'm not a hospital medical nurse person, so I don't really know, but I had the levels to show that I, you know, that I was in that area, but I didn't actually have the attack. So I got referred to all these specialists and did all this follow-up and everything. And thankfully there was no damage done to my heart, but I ended up being on medication. One that I'll be on the rest of my life, and I don't get chest pain anymore. So for 23 years, I was struggling with chest pain that I was told was anxiety. I was on medication for anxiety and it didn't help the chest pain. It did help anxiety, but it didn't help chest pain. So I don't know. Is that why I ended up having the surgery? I have no idea. All I know is that, I don't have chest pain anymore. And I don't, my mom actually ended up having a heart attack last year too. And she had the same chest pain. She was told that she had anxiety. It was anxiety. It turns out she has angina. So who knows? I don't know, but that's just part of my story. And like I said, I don't know. I have lost the weight. I lost over 100 pounds, and I don't know, like, I think I've lost over 115, 20 pounds. I don't really keep track of it. Would I have lost that weight? And I'm sure I would, probably just not as quickly. I've been working my program for 18 months. My first meeting, it was 2 years ago in February, right? So I started actively working my program in March. One of the things I wanted to talk about one of the biggest blessings to me, other than having a sponsor and all the fellows and the community that I've built, all the people that I've met through this that have helped me work my program, is sponsorship. I started sponsoring. I was terrified. And I remember saying to my, oh, I'm not ready, to my sponsor, I'm not ready. I feel like I know enough, because you always have to be perfect. I always have to know everything. I God forbid somebody thinks that like I'm not, you know, perfect. That was my ego and selfishness and self-centeredness talking. My defects of character, which I learned so much about working the steps. I still continue to learn them. But sponsorship has been the biggest blessing, sponsoring people. I've sponsored now 5 people. And you know what? Not everybody's made it through all the steps. You know, it's hard not to take that personally, but it's not me. I'm just a guide, right? But I remember my sponsor saying to me, because I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm taking up your time. Oh, and she'd say, no, like, you help me more than I help you. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. And now I totally get it. And it's like, you know, it's like my sponsees, they're like a mirror sometimes to myself. Like, I'm like, oh my goodness, I remember when I said that. Or they teach me so much, and it's such a blessing and such a gift to be able to give back what I have received. And I know that that's a big part of this program, is is giving back and you know, the outreach, sponsorship, and now, you know, speaking for the first time. So, yeah, so I think that the biggest thing for me with this program for any newcomer is to just be open, because I think that being open and, you know, the advice that I got was, you know, keep what you want and forget about the rest. Go to different meetings, find the meeting that you connect with. And one of the things that I was also told right away was to call people. And I found that really, really hard. But the phone is such a huge tool. And I mean, that's been at my up and down. That's been my, you know, when I don't call people for a while, then I start getting all crazy again and, you know, start getting all into myself. But calling people, reaching out, that is the fellowship, the connection. And that's what it's all about. Because with our disease, we isolate. You know, like I just isolated all the time and I still can isolate. It's easy to isolate. It's easy to just go in my room and shut the door, and I might not be eating anymore and going to food, but I can still isolate. Yeah. Thanks. So, you know, like connection and connecting with our, you know, connecting with Hilda. I mean, never in a million years thought that I would be able to lean into, you know, higher power. You know, I grew up with going to church twice on Sunday, Wednesdays, youth group, like our whole life revolved around church. You know, our whole life revolved around God and everything to do with that. And I had walked away from that. And I was like, there's no way I'm ever having that in my life again. And, you know, Hilda, she's great. Like, I go to her every day, multiple times a day. And it's funny, the longer, I'm still a baby in the program, right? My program's still fairly new, but I keep learning and growing more and more. And, you know, at time, like, it's never over. We're never, you know, I might be recovered, but I'm not cured. I'm never going to be cured. You know, this is something that I will work with my higher power, Hilda, forever. And the other thing I learned about how your higher power, like your conception of your higher power, it can change and it can grow. And one of the other things, even though I had sort of weird kind of lightning bolt spiritual experiences, but lately what I've felt is like, not just Hilda, but I felt like I've had a couple of times where, again, the sun, you know, comes streaming through my window right at the quick time and just wraps around me and is like, snaps me out of something and just reminds me, like, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're okay. I'm here, right? And it's like a hug. And I had this with where I was driving with my husband. He was driving and there was these cloud formations. And again, the sun was coming down through the sky. And I felt again, like, oh my gosh, like I just felt this strong sense of, you know, I took pictures of it and I was like, wow, like that just so spoke to me. Like, you're not alone. Keep going. You know, I'm here. So it's just, I never and ever, ever thought that I have that connection with higher power or with people. Like, I'm quiet, I'm shy. Usually at meetings, I often keep my camera off and I don't share a lot, and it's a struggle to share. It's a struggle to call, but I know that it's about the connection and it's about leaning into my higher power, leaning in to getting out of myself and doing the work, being open. So the one thing that I do want to share, I know my time's almost over. I did ask Hilda if there was anything she wanted me to read. And it was actually, I was flipping through the book and nothing came out at me. So I was like, okay, maybe she doesn't want to read. But then I was reading this in the big book, page 568. It's actually the spiritual experience starts on 567. But on the second page on 568, it said, this really stood out to me today. I was reading it with a sponsee. We find that no one need have difficulty with this spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. So willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery. And I think that that is all I have to say. So I encourage anyone, any newcomers, to definitely attend as many meetings as you can and call people, ask questions. Everybody that is working a program, like, we all have been a newcomer, and we want to help, and we want to pass on what we've received. So with that, I pass. Thank you.